If you need a handout sheet, just lift your hand right up and the ushers will see that you receive one. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Psalms, if you would, please. Psalm 63. Psalm 63. We're going to be using the keynote tonight in the message. You'll have some blanks to fill in. In my Sunday school class for, I guess I've taught a couples class for 20 years or more. And sometimes I'm asked to go out and speak on various topics in other churches. And so I've taken some of the lessons. And, you know, one of the problems I have is sometimes when I'm teaching my Sunday school class, I think, well, I've covered certain things. And so I won't take the time to do that on a church-wide basis. And that's probably a weakness rather than a strength in regards to feeding the congregation as far as a church family. My mind this time of year always begins to get a little nostalgic. Back in October of 1988, the 24th through the 28th, so we're talking about tomorrow through Friday, we had the evangelistic services for the start of Pimento Valley Baptist Church. And I remember we parked our travel trailer, our 33-foot Franklin trailer, in the Winkler RV park. And there I would come down, I'd go to the city at night and come down, and a guy by the name of Doug Adamson was staying in the trailer. And so then we would go out knocking on doors and passing out flyers, and we had ads running on the radio and just trying to let the message be known that we were coming out to start evangelistic services. And then, of course, after the evangelistic services, we started gearing up for the start of the church on December the 11th. So our family hadn't moved down this time of year. Thursday of this week, we had a snowstorm come through Manitoba. Hopefully that's not a foretaste of what's going to happen this week, but 28 years ago, that's what happened. And so God's been good to us through the years, amen? And he really has. He's done a marvelous work that he's allowed us as a church family to be a part of. And I trust that that will continue until Jesus comes, amen? But, you know, in our church covenant constitution, we have a booklet that you could actually pick up in the back table there at the information, actually the visitor's counter there. And we have a church covenant. Usually I try to take a service and I read through the church covenant. I don't have that on the screen, but I do want to take time to read it this evening as we look forward for the message. And it's something that we agree. And usually before someone joins the church, I encourage them to make sure they get one of these. And I say, why don't you read it? And if there's any problem that you have with it, let's sit down and talk about it. And then we can receive you in the membership and so on. And so I always try to make sure that people are well aware of what we're all about, what we believe, and how we operate. And so that's why we have a book like this, and we have more there on the back table in case you would like one. And here's what the church covenant is. As a bond of unity among us, this church accepts for its members the following covenant. Having been led by the Holy Spirit to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on profession of our faith in Him, having been baptized by immersion in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we do now most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We promise that we will watch over and counsel one another in the spirit of brotherly love, that we will remember one another in our prayers, and that we will aid each other in sickness and distress. We further agree by the aid of the Holy Spirit to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to give it a sacred preeminence over all institutions of human origin, and to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. We further covenant to maintain family and secret devotions. to religiously educate our children, to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to live carefully in this present world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our deportment, to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger, to abstain from everything that will cause our brother to stumble or that will bring reproach upon the cause of Christ, and to strive to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, that amidst evil and good report, we will humbly and earnestly seek to live to the honor and glory of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. We moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's Word. That's what we agree to as part of the fellowship here of Pimento Valley Baptist Church. I want to read two portions of Scripture. One is from Psalm 63, verses 1 to 5. Does everyone have a study sheet? You have that? Okay, super. Okay, Psalm 63, verses 1 to 5 says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Let's go now to Psalm 42. It says, as the hart panteth, and of course the hart is like a deer, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And he goes on from there. I want to speak first of all in the time that we have on personal devotions. And as you know, I'm going to really capsulize this. And even though when we talk about personal devotions and family devotions, it's things that we hear all the time. I wonder if we were to actually go from person to person throughout this room, how many would say that they have personal devotions on a regular basis? I'm not talking about once in a blue moon, so to speak, or once a couple times a week. I'm talking about a regular time with God. That's what personal devotions are all about. I wonder how many families actually gather together and have a time of Bible reading and prayer. I wonder how many, if we were to take a survey, are regular in having family devotions. And so when I look at this and we hear it mentioned so often, I wonder how many of us would have to hang our heads and say, boy, I should do better than what I'm doing. Or, wow, he's knocking on my door, stepping on my toes. Now, I have to say, as far as personal devotions, as you look at your study sheet, I would have to say personal devotions that if you're not having a regular time with God, the counseling that you may receive, you may say at the moment it's good, you may receive some help from it, but by the same token, as far as a lasting peace that you might experience, a lasting help that you might have, will be minimized because you don't have that personal relationship with God. It's not a matter, I'm not trying to get you to go on a guilt trip tonight. You don't have personal devotions because you don't want to be guilty. You don't want to feel guilt. You don't want to have when the pastor talks like this, you don't want to have to hang your head, so to speak. You don't want to have to feel bad. And even though sometimes that bad feeling bad may spur us on to do something, at the same time, that's not what we're talking about tonight. And I'm not trying to get you to go on a guilt trip. Neither am I trying to get you to go on a guilt trip in regards to family devotions. The commandments of the Lord are not grievous. And when we talk about devotions, we're talking about a relationship that we're trying to develop and to foster. And so that's really what we're talking about when we talk about spending a daily time with God. We're talking about having a time with that one who loves us, and we say we love him. And so that's what I want to emphasize tonight. And many devotional lives are monotonous and haphazard at best. And so to help in personal devotions, the following are some suggestions. And of course, there's some of these points that I can't take you to a chapter and verse and says, you ought to do it this way. Because you'll find that as you develop a relationship with someone, that things may change. Your habits may change. But yet, you should long to spend more time with God rather than less time with God, the more mature you become as a believer in Jesus Christ. But our lives are filled with a lot of distractions. I know, especially with technology, it's easy when you get on some of those. I read news, you know. I like to read news and watch the video clips and things of that nature. But, you know, you can kill a couple hours real quick. And you can eat up a lot of time. And yet it seems like that when you talk about reading the Bible, reading a chapter seems to be a chore. Or, boy, that takes a long time. I was going to do it tonight, but I won't because of the time. But I went through it one particular time with my family. In our devotions, I decided what we would do is I would actually time us. And I remember, I think it was when we were in California one time outside of, what's the theme park, the roller coaster place? Magic Mountain? Is it Magic Mountain? Maybe it was Knott's Berry, but they hadn't opened up. And, you know, we're in this car and we pull over the side of the road and we're waiting for this place to open up. And so we actually drove to an area where there's some trees and whatnot. And so I said, well, let's go ahead and have family devotions now. And so we opened up the Bible, and I decided that I would time myself in a conversational tone reading through certain books of the Bible. And I even looked tonight before this service, and I looked to see where I made some notes in one of my Bibles, and I read through the three chapters of 2 Thessalonians. Three chapters, a real short book. It took me 6 minutes. Now you say, well, Pastor, I don't read that fast. Well, let me encourage you out loud, because you also read slower out loud than you do, you know, silently. And so I would encourage you then to just take and just test it sometime. Take your Bible, take a book of the Bible, take Philippians. You might read through that book in about 8 minutes. You'll read through, I think, Ephesians in about 12 minutes. And just in a conversational tone, as you are used to me reading on Sunday mornings, or as I read larger portions of Scripture, you see the speed that I go through. But even if you slow that up, you know, it doesn't take you long, really, to read much Scripture. But we've got ourselves thinking wrongly in regards to spending time in the Word of God. Boy, if we read a couple of chapters, we're really doing something. Or, boy, I just don't have time, you say, to read the Word of God. We don't take the time. We do have the time. We have the time to prioritize that which is really important to us. And so I think it's important for us to really begin as believers, if we really want to please God and we want to develop a relationship with God, we need to spend time with Him. And we're not going to do it outside the Word of God. You know, church is great. You're faithful. I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak. But at the same time, you're faithful. But, you know, you're getting, I trust, some help. But, you know, this is stuff that maybe we've studied, that we've gathered from a multiplicity of sources, and we're giving out to you. And that's great for added blessings, and that helps strengthen you and build you up so that we can go out throughout the rest of the week and help win our world for Christ. But this is a time of building up, Ephesians chapter 4. But this should not be the only spiritual food that you get in the course of your week. This should be an add-on, but this ought to be added on as a special blessing and maybe exercising you in an area that maybe you wouldn't choose for yourself. Maybe you wouldn't get that in your personal devotions, but however, you ought to be striving to walk with God in such a way that He speaks to you every single day and that you have a time with Him every day. Here are some suggestions. Number one, we must develop our palate. And I've got them all started with P here. It's not new to some of you, but I just felt like we needed to emphasize this. And as I begin to, on Sunday nights, maybe zero in on some aspects of our homes, I thought, what greater There's no greater thing for me to really start with than having our time with God, our private time with God. We must develop our palate. That talks about our taste. Letter A is salvation gives the initial start. Okay, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And so you're going to grow spiritually in relation to the time you spend in the word of God. So that's important. Not only spending time reading the word of God, but meditating upon the word of God. That means that you allow the word of God to come into your mind and you begin to think on it and dwell on it. And you ruminate over it. You just chew on it for a while. That's really the step that I think many are missing today. You're saying, well, I do read the Bible, and yet many times if you're like me, you close up the book you've read, somebody asks you 10 minutes later what you read, and you can't even recall what you read or where you read. Are you with me? It's quiet in here tonight. But at the same time, that's something that if we're not careful, we'll just go into it as a sense of duty rather than the relationship that God desires to have with us. And so it starts there with salvation, because I believe that once you trust Christ as Savior, He puts that desire in a Christian's life. Something's wrong with a believer if there's no desire to spend time in God's Word. He either is not saved or he or she is backslidden to the point where they're not even hearing or feeling that tug of God to spend time. How much time do we spend? Could very well be that we need to give an invitation right now, and the altars could be full of people who say, look, I don't really have the desire that I ought to have at this particular point in time in my life as a believer. I mean, how many years have you been saved? I've been saved for 44 years. That's a long time. My desire for God ought to be so much greater now than it was when I first got saved. It all starts with the development of a taste. And salvation is the beginning point. Sanctification, letter B, protects our desire. And we need to guard against those things that will negatively affect the desire. In other words, no junk food. And what I mean by junk food is filling up our lives with all the peripheral stuff. And they may be, as we would say, some good things. And I'm not going to get into all that, but what I'm talking about is you have to protect yourself from those things that will actually hinder the time that you can spend in the Word of God. And it might be good things, but yet they have a negative influence upon your life. We're talking about your personal devotions. Number two, your flesh desires, your spirit desires, the Holy Spirit desires, and the devil desires. It is in the realm of your will to whom you will yield. It's your decision. See, everybody desires. Your flesh desires. I'm hungry. You know, there's a desire there. Then you think, too, of the spirit. Hey, there's that desire, the human spirit. You've got desires. Okay? Then you have the Holy Spirit that desires. Okay? And then you have the devil who has a desire for you too. But it's your decision as to whom you will yield yourself. Okay? Number two, we should have a place. Not only do you have to develop a taste, but you need to have a place. This is a place that signals your mind that this is where you meet God. It might be a chair, it might be a room, it might be a building, it might be a field, but you need a place. You know, it says that Isaac, when he was waiting for that servant of Abraham to bring a bride his way, I don't know exactly, the Bible doesn't say what he was thinking about, but it did say that he was in the field meditating. He was taking some time thinking about his day. And so there's that aspect of meditating day and night on the Word of God. And so you need to have a place, and a place just helps us. You know, sometimes you go to a family room and you may have that place, that's your game room, let's say. That's the place you go to have fun. Well, maybe you need to develop a place that you go to have your devotions. You say, well, I don't really have a place like that. Man, pick a furnace room. Pick a closet. You know, pick the garage. Pick a mile road. You know, just find a place that you just know in your mind that when you get to this place, you're not reading other books. You're not listening to other music. You're not listening to preaching. You're listening to God, and you're reading the Word of God, and you're spending time with God. So you should have a place. If your regular place is not available, find another place. You know, I travel from time to time, and I have to find a place. You know, and so that motel room begins, that's my place. And you know, I have a little bit of a routine that I go through when I go into that motel room. And Brenda knows that when she's with me, it does throw me off sometimes. And I have to get my bearings as to, it's not that I don't want her with me. But you understand, like when I pray, I like to pray out loud. And so, you know, it's a little intimidating when your wife's sitting right there and listening to you pray. You know, you may not know what I'm talking about. I feel weird, okay? All right. And so I'm very intimidated that way. But you need to find some place that you can get alone with God and that you can fellowship with Him. And of course, Jesus was on the mountain at times, or He was in the garden, but He found a place. Wherever He was, He found a place that He could talk to His Heavenly Father. And Jesus was our example, was He not? We find Him after He spends time, you know, he finds John the Baptist, He gets baptized. In Matthew chapter 3, it says, then after that step of obedience, we find that He is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. From the time of His baptism on, He did nothing outside of being led by the Holy Spirit. And that's an example for us. We also see here as our example that just as He needed to spend time with His Father, we need to spend time with our Father. So if Jesus Christ needed to pray and needed to spend time with His Father, I think you and I, as fallen humanity, we need to do the same. So we need to move our walk with God to the front burner, so to speak, instead of the add-on and give Him our leftovers. We need to give Him our best. And so you should have a place. Number three, we need to understand that we're meeting a person. We're meeting a person. God is a Trinity. He's the Creator. He's the Sustainer. He's the Savior. He's the Friend. He's the Comforter. He's the Helper. He's the Brother. He's the Advocate. He's the Mediator. He's Lord. And of course, a great psalm for that is Psalm 8. And sometimes you may want to just take a psalm like Psalm 8, those eight verses of Scripture, and just read through them. Just say, Lord, I'd like to read the Scripture back to You. And just read the psalm. I mean, how could you pray any better than praying the Word of God, the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God back to God? That's pretty powerful. And so there's times where you might be reading the particular passage and say, Lord, I just want to read this back to You. I just want to pray this. This is my prayer. I'm taking this as my prayer to You. And you read that back to Him. I think He's honored by that. I think He's thrilled that you would want to spend time with Him. And there's a holy transaction that's taking place as you're spending time in the Word of God and you're centering your attention on Him. And it's something that's just very hard to explain verbally, but at the same time, there is something powerful going on as the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God is meshing together with your spirit. It's not spookiness. It's fellowship. I can just imagine what it must have been like as Moses climbed up on Mount Sinai and spent time with God. What it must have been like that time when Joshua went in, and as Moses left, Joshua stayed behind and just said, you know, I want to be here too. And I want to just spend some private time with God. Wow. That's pretty good, isn't it? We're meeting a person, and that's what we have to understand. It's not a matter of saying, I got to read my chapter. I got to read the book. I've got to do this. Or next time He mentions that, I'm going to feel guilty. That's not it. You know, when Brenda and I were dating and she would write me a love letter, I was thrilled to get those letters. I was excited to go to the mailbox at Tennessee Temple and open that mailbox and get that letter and smell that perfume. Yes, amen. And then open that letter. And you know what? I would stand there in the post office and I'd read that letter. I would go to my room and I would read that letter. Why? I love her. And I liked her telling me she loved me. Amen. All right? But we're meeting a person. It wasn't, okay, got another one. I mean, what kind of a relationship would that be? Wow. Moving right along, number four. We must use the parchments. We must use the parchments. And what I mean by that is the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. We know by a good study of the scriptures that the scriptures are called the milk of the word, as well as the meat of the word. Okay? And so you need the word of God. And so even though you may use devotional helps, you need to also spend time in the word of God. And you know, I pulled some out of my library. I've got quite a few devotional guides, but I wanted to pull some out just so that I could maybe give you some examples of what you may use. And I would never encourage you to set the scriptures aside, but one thing that might be helpful as an addition to, read some scriptures. I like to read in a systematic way, but there have been different times where I have actually used some helps in my devotional walk, okay? And so I'll read the scripture, but then I'll also maybe get a book like this. This is volume 2. I've got all the volumes here, and this I picked up at a used bookstore, and it's by Mrs. Kalman. It's Streams in the Desert, Streams in the Desert. There's a series of these, and they're great devotional guides where it has a verse of scripture, and then it has a commentary on that. Now, not a commentary explaining this, but it tells a story and gives an emphasis. And so let me encourage you to do something like that in addition to your Bible reading. Give you a track to run on. Here's Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. One year I went through this. I went through just reading, and it has a morning reading with scripture and then an evening reading. Okay, and it's not something that, you know, if I missed a couple of days of doing this, it's not a big deal. But it was something that got me thinking just a little bit more intently or on purpose to a particular passage of scripture or an emphasis that he was giving. Okay, and so one thing that was helpful is Tom Wallace's devotional guide. I know a number of you picked this up, and you know, this is a great little devotional book. I don't know if you use it or not, but I mean, you look at October the 23rd, predestined to be glorified. Now, you may read and you may get a blessing, but you know, sometimes you'll read a portion of scripture and you'll say, boy, that's a great reminder. That's good. And that'll bless your heart. And that's great. That's what God's given you for that day as a reminder. But here's today's. He says, predestined to be glorified. Predestination is a term that has reference only to believers. The word pre means beforehand. Destination refers to the climax, the final point, or to the end. I recently flew on Southwest Airlines from Baltimore, Maryland to Nashville, Tennessee. When I purchased my ticket, I made a pre-arrangement that guaranteed or promised me delivery to Nashville, Tennessee. No provision was made for seating. I picked out my seat near a window and close to the front after I got on the plane. I had no prior arrangements for the snack. The stewardess came by, and there on the spot, I decided to accept a fruit bar, a cup of coffee, and a bag of sugar peanuts for my grandson, who would be waiting with his grandmother at the airport in Nashville. The pre-arrangement was only for my destination and did not cover how smooth or bumpy the flight might be. My ticket just covered the destination. Only those of us who have pre-arranged to get a ticket were allowed to get on the plane and come to our destination. When I accepted Christ as my Savior and placed my trust in Him, my destination for heaven was also settled. Whether I find happiness and victory along the way will be determined by other decisions that are made day by day. I will need to decide about church attendance, Bible study, prayer, giving, and such. These matters, however, will not affect my destination. Predestination is a wonderful Bible truth in its simplicity. Paul said, speaking only to Christians who have their ticket for heaven, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Well, that's the devotional. That's a great truth that he just elaborated on. That's something that you can chew on throughout the day. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've been predestined for heaven. Amen? And yet, at the same time, you determine how your trip is going to be. Very powerful truth. See, that's the help of a devotional guide. It's not meant to supplant the Word of God, but just give you a little perspective from someone else's point of view. You see, he spent time with God, and God gave him these. And so he's sharing this. But at the same time, God wants to do the same thing in your life. He wants to give you truth. Amen? That's the greatness of our God. You know, I also have a book here. This is Andrew Murray on prayer. I've also got the complete works of E.M. Bounds on prayer. And they have just little chapters here. And you can maybe, if you want to take a particular topic and go through that topic and study that topic for a time. It'd take you over a year to get through a book like this. But if in the course of your devotional life, you were to take a book like this and say, you know, I want to learn more about the subject of prayer from Andrew Murray's perspective, and you can read this particular, and it wouldn't take you any time at all to read the various books that he has here. E.M. Bounds has a book like this. I didn't have it here. I've got it at the house. But it says the complete works of E.M. Bounds, and then I found out by reading the preface that there was one book they didn't include in the preface. I mean, in the book itself, in the complete works. So, of course, I Googled it, found out what book it was and how much it cost, and I ordered it. And it's The Preacher in Prayer. Why they left that one out, I don't know. But I bought the book. It went for this little thing went for as high as $75. I mean, this little thing right here, A Preacher in Prayer. I wanted to know, complete works, and yet it wasn't the complete works. How they get away with that, I don't know. But you know, this was a great little book for me to read. And so I want to encourage you, you know, put a little spice in your devotion. But when you read something like this, you're actually learning how you could develop a better walk with God, I trust. Amen? And so there's all kinds of helps out there. And I want to encourage you to be involved in that. And then also you may want to study some things. I brought my deputation sermon with me. This is pretty scary to even look at. This is the one I said that I preached 86 times when I was on the road. And, wow. God used this sermon, believe it or not. He likes to take the foolish things of the world and confound the wise. Amen. But, you know, but what I did, though, is I said, you know, I need to be doing something rather than just, you know, you can have one or two messages and you can preach your deputation away, you know. And so what I did is I took the back of this one day as I'm sitting. I believe it was in the parking lot of a McDonald's restaurant there in Bonner Springs, Kansas. And I said, I wonder what topics that I could maybe study on my own that would help me to make me dig into something else rather than just read aimlessly. And so I wrote some topics down that I could study: the rapture, the virgin birth, the blood atonement, bodily resurrection, the second coming. What this does is this helps you to focus your time with God. Say, God, I want to know more about the future. I want to know more about your virgin birth. I want to know why this is considered a cardinal doctrine, that if people don't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, they're not saved. You know, how can we, you know, you hear statements like that, but you say, wow, I wonder if I can prove that from the Word of God. And so you get in there and you study. And you know what? It may take you some time to go through. It may take you a month of Sundays, so to speak. In other words, a lot of time. It may take you a long time to work through some of these topics, but yet you're digging into the Word of God and God is showing you some things. And I'm a page turner, and there's just something valuable about, a lot of times you're searching one particular topic out, and then as you're searching that out, God will give you other nuggets along the way to help you. Your personal walk with God. But you're going to have to carve out some time to do this. And I know as I'm developing a whole message on this, you're probably thinking, wow, that's like going to seminary. No. It's not that way at all. And you know, when I was dating Brenda, I couldn't wait to spend time with her. I made time to spend with her. And we need to make time to spend with God. You need to make that time. You need to carve out that time. You may need to say, hey, look, at this particular time, I'm in devotions. It may mean that instead of staying at your friend's house till 10 o'clock, maybe you need to go and leave at 9 so that you can go home and you can spend time in the Word of God. I know I may be hitting some comfort zone here, but by the same token, whose fellowship are you really more after? And so I think it's important for us to understand this. We must use the Bible. We must use the parchments. We must try to learn all we can about God. And then number 5, we must pray. Every dynamic and vibrant person used by God was a person of prayer. In the scriptures and in history, you check all the famous missionaries. You check all the famous preachers. You check them out. You check the Bible characters that were used by God, and they were men and women of God. In other words, they spent time with God. They knew the voice of God. Let me ask you a question. Do you know the voice of God? Do you know whether He's talking or you're talking? Do you know that He's talking or a friend's talking? Or just something you think is talking? Or, you know, do you know it's God? Okay? So you've got to pray. Then number 6, we must promise ourselves in God that we will walk with Him. We call it commitment. And your commitment will be tested. Your commitment will be tried. About the time you set out to do this, you're going to be invited to someone's house and you're going to want to burn the midnight oil. And that's going to cramp your style because you know what? You got to go to work tomorrow. So your commitment's going to be tested. It's going to be tried. And let me just encourage you, if you fail, get back up and begin again. Why not commit, number 7, why not commit your daily walk with God as something you will do regardless? You know, people have tried all sorts of methodology. One person said, you know what, no Bible, no breakfast. It's a great weight loss program. Okay? No Bible, no breakfast. Okay, you may say, you know what? I don't go to bed until I spend time with God. I don't go to bed until I walk with God. That I have that Bible. I don't know how your biological clock works. If you're a shift worker and you work 4 to 12s or 12 to 8s or some modified version of that, your breakfast time is going to be different than someone else's. Your early morning is going to be different than someone else's. And so we're not going to dictate the time, and God doesn't dictate the time, but you need to spend time, and you need to make it work for you. Amen? There are many methods. Try them. A method is a method. In other words, you may try something for a while and say, you know what, that doesn't click. Hey, you know, sometimes as a church we've tried doing a Bible reading guide. We're going to try a new one this next year. But by the same time, sometimes you try one and you say, you know what, that just didn't fit for me this year. And so you try another one. Don't get all hung up and feel like you're wrong with God because you're trying a different method. Or, you know, preacher so-and-so or Christian so-and-so that has this method, and yet you just don't seem to get much out of that method. Hey, we're talking about a personal relationship. Find one that works for you. Amen? So there are many methods. Try them. And letter B, learn to enjoy God. Learn to enjoy God. Isn't it something, you who spend time in the Word, isn't it something when God shows you something? Where you just know? Man, I've been awestruck some in recent days as I look at some people's lives. And then I think and I see where they are now. And I see how God laid out certain things in their life. And wow, I didn't see God's hand. as things were happening, but now I look back and I see God's hand all along the way. Wow. God wants to do that for you. He wants to do that for you. Now let me switch gears here a little bit to family devotions. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it talks about in verse 4, let me just drop down, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. That's where we get Bible verses being posted and things of that nature. Reminders of the Word of God. Let me just real quick like go through these points here in regards to family devotions. And let me just say, most men are intimidated by family devotions. And I may develop this later in another lesson, but I've done this extensively in my couples class, to where if you look at the fall of man, you'll notice here that Adam gave in to Eve. And you see that mankind has always struggled from that particular point in leadership. Many men struggle in areas of leadership, and many ladies struggle in the area of submission. Hence the feminist movement and things of that nature. And you have this striving that goes on between men and women in society. And I know I'm speaking in heavy generalized terms. But that's why when you think about the spiritual aspect, many men are very intimidated by taking the spiritual leadership of the home, because many of them think that their wives are more spiritual than themselves. And so they feel very vulnerable by opening themselves up spiritually. And I believe that that is an attack as well as a strategy of the devil in fighting our homes. And so, men, you're going to struggle with this. But I would say this, if you'll just do it, just do it. You'll be blessed by taking the leadership of your home in the area of devotions. And ladies, I would say this, if the man's not giving you a hard time about it, you may be able to pick another time if he's just super sensitive about it, doesn't want you reading the Bible in front of him and things of that nature. You may want to find some time during the day where it won't be, you know, an offense to him, where you can gather the children together and you can read scripture and you can have some devotional time with them. But make sure that you find a time to try to get together as a family. Don't make this time a war zone, okay? And so, number one, family devotions is for the entire family, big and little, okay? Number two, it should be held at a time when everyone can be alert and free to participate. And you know, this is a struggle, and I wish I was more perfect at this as our children were growing up, and I wasn't. At the same time, I can remember the thrill it was as I went over to Brenda's house when we were dating, and her family had family devotions, and just the way they did it, and they memorized scripture, and they sang, and they did these kinds of things. And I remember at Christmas time, they would recount the entire Christmas story by memory. Dad Vradenberg would sit there with his Bible, and he'd go to the Old Testament scriptures, just in case they got off base, and forget the verse or where they were at, just like you see sometimes our Master Club workers do with the children. And they would begin to recount the Christmas story of the prophetic scriptures, and then they'd go to Matthew 1 and they'd go to Luke 2 and they would just quote the entire passages of scripture, and that had quite an impact on me and was an encouragement to me. And so it should be held at a time where everyone can be as alert and free to participate as possible. And I realize that when you're traveling, you know, sometimes you have to make adjustments. You know, I can remember times where I'm hauling our children in because in our van on the way home from some event or some church activity or being with someone, I'd be hauling the children in. I'd just about get the last one in bed, and one of them would wake up and say, Dad, are we going to have devotions? Ah, sleep, you know. And so, of course, then you have devotions. You know, that's good. Because the children are helping you do the right thing, right? Oh, man. Somebody else want to give a word of testimony? Okay, so, you know, and so it should be held at a time when everyone can be alert and free to participate. Now, if you have to resurrect your family just to have breakfast, that's probably not a good time to have family devotions. You may want to pick a time like supper, or you may want to pick a time later on in the evening. You may want to pick maybe a lunchtime. I heard about one of our men who their family does it at lunchtime because he could go home and he could have family devotions that way. That's great. You pick a time that works for your family. Number three, remember, you are helping your family, not preparing a sermon. And this is, I've heard some guys say, Pastor, I just can't keep up with that. I have my family, my personal devotions, and then by the time he says, I'm spending at least an hour prepping for my family devotions. I'm going, whoa, you know, this man belongs in the ministry. You're not preparing a sermon. It may be where you get into the scriptures and you read the Bible together. You may share some prayer requests. You have a time of prayer where you take turns praying. You know, you can talk about certain things. If matters of character or Christian living come up in the passage, you can talk about that. You can do those kinds of things, but it's not meant to be a church service. You know, you have church services. This is home, okay? Now, keep in mind their age and their attention span. And technology has really come into play here to where, like a message like tonight that I'm taking a little bit more time with, people get tired of sitting now. They can sit in front of a TV set for hours on end, but in a church service, they get tired. Our attention span. And marketers have this thing down pat where they're saying now that every 3 to 4 minutes, you have to change the emphasis or the direction or the thought process because your children are already onto something else because of your tablets and your phones and things of that nature. They don't hold the attention. It's harder for people to hold attention and be in competition with technology today. But anyway, you need to keep in mind your children's age and their attention span. And I would encourage you, it could be where you just determine and you start with the book of Matthew and just say, look, we're going to read the Christmas story. Yes, we're going to read chapter 1. Now, look, chapter 1 of Matthew, those first few verses, like the first 17 verses, pretty intense with all the names. You know, so you're going to trip and fall through that, I'm sure. Preachers do that when they're preaching from that passage of Scripture. But at the same time, then you pick up and you read through from verses 18 to 25. Then you go into chapter 2. You may just read, you know, those portions of Scripture and talk about the Christmas story. You may find a parable and you may teach on that parable. You may go and you may teach from one of the Old Testament accounts and so on. You may talk about Jonah in the whale. You see, you may talk about those kinds of things. And so when you have the smaller children, you need to do that. As they get older, you can talk about more mature things. And then you need to remember, if you have older and younger, that you need to also keep talking so that the younger will keep gripping and grabbing the same truths that you were teaching the older. Okay? That way you don't lose them. All right? So number four, helps are all right, but make sure the Bible is always read. And folks, make sure it's the King James Bible. A lot of devotional helps are out there, and they have other Bible versions that they use. And so you may want to plug in, you always want to plug in the King James. That's the Word of God. So you want to give your family the Word of God. So you have to be careful of these other versions. I hold the other versions as no more than just a commentary at best. So you have to be very, very careful. And that's why, you know, if you're going to have certain values in your home, you need to make sure that when the children are smaller, that those values are being upheld, because that you know, it's just like the appearance standards and so on. If you have your children not adhere to the appearance standards when they're little, then what happens? They begin to question when they get older. It's natural. It was okay when they're babies and toddlers, but boy, now all of a sudden it's not. Men are supposed to be men and women are supposed to be women. It's not just always a question of modesty. Sometimes it's a matter of just distinction. Chew on that for a while. Okay, so helps are all right, but make sure the Bible's all right, is always read. Number five, Pray for specific, measurable needs concerning your family. This way, praise and faith are built. Take turns praying. In our family, it was amazing how the children could say, I'd say, whose turn is it to pray? And boy, we would find out, you know what? With Laura at home, Julia at home and Brenda at home, we even sometimes sit there and go, whose turn is it to pray? I said, Julia, I think it's your turn to pray. No, I prayed last night. Oh, no, you didn't. I prayed three nights in a row, they'll say, and all this kind of stuff. And so we're trying to figure out, even at our age, and I guess that says something about that. So, not Julia, me, okay? But, you know, you take turns praying. That's family prayer, okay? And then memorize some scripture together, number six. Number seven is sing together. You can sing together. And then number eight, spend time talking about the day. What did you do today? It's a great time to just interact in that way, okay? And then number nine is start today. Start today. Now, let me just say this about Sundays and Wednesdays. In our home, a lot of times what we did when we went home, because we had church all day today, we would just have a time of prayer, okay? That's how we did it. You may choose to do it some other way. That's your business. But let me encourage you. Let me encourage you to have a daily time with God and a family time with God. And pick a time that works for you, but you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to make time for that. You're going to have to make time. So once again, if we were to ask you to stand up and tell us your devotional life, would you have much of a devotional life? Or would you say, boy, I need to improve on that? We're talking about a relationship with God. You need to know God before trouble comes. You need to know God before the valley experiences of life. You need to know that He's there. You need to know that you've got His ear. I mean, David said He inclined His ear unto me. I mean, that means God was already bending over the portals of heaven saying, David, what is it? You need to know that God's there for you. And the only way to know that is have a good relationship with Him. Amen? The last thing you want to know is, well, hopefully God will hear me. You don't need that. Amen? Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. It could be that you need, during this invitation time, to determine and make a commitment that you're going to have a personal walk with God. It could be that you need to develop a family time with God. And there's a lot of helps out there. But you can't beat the Word of God. Just gathering the family together, how long does it take to read a chapter? How long does it take to have a time of prayer? Everything ought to just come to a screeching halt in your house where they say, you know what? There's a time every day where things just get set aside and we direct our focus to God. As the musicians play, please make the decision that God wants you to make in light of the message tonight.